So, I get to preach too. This is cool. If you will, turn with me to John 10:10. And I want to talk to you about something very near and dear to my heart. John 10:10, there we are. I don't know how many times I've preached and talked about accessing the resources of heaven. Now, wherever you are in your walk, whatever it is that you're struggling with or going through, whether you need healing or money or whatever it is, the resources of heaven include those kind of things. But I wanted to take a moment and kind of help you to see how you've had access to kingdom resources already and how God has opened up different channels of those resources to you and how you can look to Him for more. For if you've been given, more will be given to you. Right? It's a channel that's open if you will steward it well. And by stewarding it well, it just means to give it away or use it in kingdom purposes. That's all. That's all it is. It's not about stockpiling it forever and ever, you know, so that you end with the most toys at the end. It's about being available for Jesus and what He is doing and the glorification of His kingdom and the wonder of who He is. And so I want to just kind of review some of these things with you this morning. So I've got 8 key points. Now you can call them keys to kingdom resources or principles of kingdom resources or just kingdom resources or whatever you want. But there's going to be 8 of them, so... Last week, Judy had, I think, I had 7 points, and Judy had 14 at the end of it. So, she had a double anointing. That was John 10:10, thank you, Lord. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. What does abundant life look like to you? Right? Is it just having lots of breath? Is it good health? Is it having the things that you need to go through this life? What is abundant life to you? Abundant is more than enough, right? Most of us live our lives challenged to get just enough, challenged to live in just enough, to get up to that level where we got just enough to get along. But Jesus is talking about abundant life here, more than enough. He is a more than enough God. When He performed a miracle of food, fishes and loaves, both times that we have it recorded, when He fed 5,000, when He fed 4,000, with meager resources. He started with not enough, but He ended with more than enough. The picture is, in God, there's always more than enough. Right? How many mountains did you really need in your life? Is one sufficient for you to look at a mountain? Like they do in Africa, Mount Kilimanjaro, just... majestically rises in Tanzania. But here we have an abundance of mountains, more than enough. Has anybody climbed all the mountains around here? Too many. Too many, because there's more than enough. How much sky did you need? There's more than enough. How much ocean? He's a God of more than enough. And it goes on and on and on. Abundance is kind of his middle name. Because he is always providing us more than enough. It's just his heart. He doesn't want us to just get along. A land flowing with milk and honey was his promise. Now that's more than you'd expect, you know. Like a couple of cows and a hive of bees would have been fine. But this land flows with milk and honey. Whoa. It's so awesome. So abundant life. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. Thank you, Lord. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. It's he who gives you power to get wealth. Who'd he give it to? You. Put your name in there if you want. That's okay. Just write it in your Bible. Go ahead. I'll give you permission. He gives you power to get wealth. The people of Israel that he spoke this to originally have actually believed that, and they have been very effective at getting wealth. The Jewish nation is amazing at getting wealth. And I don't want to go over all that they have accomplished or all that they are in charge of, but just know that of the major banking systems in all of the world, there are 400 leaders, 400 major decision makers in all of the banks in all of the world, and more than 200 of them are of Jewish background. Enough said. So, resources, kingdom resources. What gets you there, or what kind of things am I looking for? What is the major? What kind of things can I recognize as kingdom resources? And these aren't in any particular order, so don't, you know, it's, but I started with generosity or giving. The ability to give. Our Father gave. For he so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And his nature is as a giver. He's always giving. He's always giving. And that's one of the things that sets him apart. He's not just a taker. He's not a demander. He's a giver. If he wants something from you, he will give it to you first. Praise God. Or he will give you an exchange of what you had so that you could have something more wonderful. The oil of joy instead of mourning. Right? The garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Pretty good trade, I think. Those are the kinds of things that he does. He is generous. Not generous to a fault, because he's not capable of that. But he is generous. Generous, generous, generous. And that's what he wants us to be. Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give."
Hallelujah.
Giving opens up the door to the kingdom resources. Giving and generosity opens up the opportunity to get more. Whatever you're giving, whatever you're generous in, the principles of sowing and reaping, you put something in the ground like a piece of corn, and you get back way more than you put in. One little niblet, a kernel of corn, put in the ground will bring forth hundreds of kernels of corn. And it's that nature that God, like, first the natural, then the supernatural. God is moving so that we see what his principles are and that we can move in those things. So we begin to be generous with our money, consistently generous, living generous lives because we don't have to be stingy about it. That's all part of a poverty mindset, holding on to the scarce resources that you have. But if you, when you know that you have access to the resources of heaven, then it's no problem being generous. As I can't outgive God. That sounds like a truism, but it is true. Cliche? Maybe. But try it. Just try to outgive God. The most common explanation of Jesus talking to the young rich ruler who said, you know, I've done everything right. What else do I need to do? And Jesus said, take all you have, give it to the poor. Or sell it and give it to the poor. The understanding of that is you will be so busy doing that the rest of your life that the kingdom of God will be within you and you will grow immensely. You'll be so busy as you give it away, you've got to turn and get it in the back door because it's coming in to replace what you've given away. Because his nature is good measure, pressed down, running over, shaken together, running over, more than enough.
Praise God.
He gives back to you.
Thank you, Lord.
You can't outgive him. He who gives the poor lends to God. Will he not repay? And do you think he'll just repay penny for penny? I don't think so. The God that gives more than enough.
Praise God.
He's amazing. He is amazing. Generosity is delightful. Isaiah 58 lists 26 blessings that you will get if you live a generous life toward the poor. Isaiah 58 and verse 10. So Isaiah 58 is just 14 verses long, but there's 26 blessings that you'll have if you live a generous life toward the poor. Isaiah 58:10 says, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desires of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. That's his blessing back to us. He says the gift makes way for the giver. As you give, you open up doors. As you give, you express your inheritance to people. Being generous is about showing who your daddy is.
Praise God.
Second thing. Things that come to you because they are part of kingdom resources. The second one is finance, resources, and time. Those things, as you get them, they're gifts from heaven. They're you've opened up the doors to heaven or the windows to heaven, and you begin to move out of survival mode and into accumulation mode. Accumulating things so that you have it to give when the resources are needed. To share the gospel costs money, takes resources, takes time. And God gives you those things. Are you retired? Are you out of a job at this point? You have time to give in to the kingdom of heaven. God has provided that for you. If you have an abundance of resources or finance, it's about God trusting you to be a steward of those things, not for your comfort, but for the kingdom, and to be about the kingdom's purposes.
Praise God.
Those things have come to you for a reason, and he's trusting that you will use it for that reason. Kingdom resources have been entrusted to you. If you have time available, like kingdom resources are stuff that you may have learned over time too. We have in our midst people that are mothers and fathers. I mean, they're not just physically mothers and fathers. There are people that move in the wisdom and the love and the kindness of mothers and fathers in the kingdom. People that are more interested that you achieve wonder, that you go further than they have, that you thrive wherever you are. That is a mother and father anointing upon you. When you're concerned that others would do better than you even. It's not a false humility. That's a kingdom resource that's been put into you for you to draw alongside others and encourage them. And it's a wonderful thing. If you're jealous of what somebody's doing, or you really wonder what's going on there, or you wanna get better so that you can do better than them, why are they getting it and I'm not getting it? You're really in a sibling sort of a relationship with people then. And it's always competitive. But a mother and father relationship, that anointing is so, oh, let them do well, Lord. Would you bless them and honor them and move them past where I was able to get to?
Yes, hallelujah.
And help them with the resources that they need, if you have them available. It's those are resources that have come from heaven for you to use and steward in his kingdom. Are you using them? Are you blessing others with them? The third one is relationships, influence, and favor. God, we think that we have, this is our own arrogance, we think that we have chosen people around us. We think that we have picked our friends and done so carefully. Didn't get to pick my family, so I'm going to pick my friends. God placed them in your midst. God put them before you for a purpose. God is building influence in you and showering favor upon you so that people want to hang out with you and people want to see you do well. People want to encourage you and help you along, get you going. So you have influence. As you move through this life, you see that the circle of your influence has gone from mommy, maybe daddy initially. Sometimes not, though. As a baby, that's all the influence you have. And then the influence starts to grow. And your sphere of influence grows and grows. And you start to have favor with more and more delightful people along the way. And you start to have influence with people of influence. And they start to look to you as you are moving in kingdom resources, as you're generous with your time, not always looking for something back. The world would say that you gotta be going to get. But if you're going to give and looking for others to thrive, if you're looking to bless other people, then people really want your input.
Praise God.
The wisdom that God gives you. The wonder of who he made you. And he starts to share that with people. And people start to enjoy you. And you start to enjoy favor where you didn't have favor before. We've been at this for a long time. And when they need something done, In the city here, they come to us now, and they'll ask us. We don't know how to do this. this night market thing. You know, you guys know how to do this. Would you do this? And we do it. Because we have influence. We have favor. We're going into a place, like any church, anywhere should be willing to do anything they can to get the opportunity to share the gospel in a public setting, and not only for free, but with blessing. For the history of the church, they picked up boxes and put them in the public square and got up onto those boxes and started to share, and people have thrown rotten tomatoes at them and hurled insults at them, and the authorities of the land would try to stop them in every way they can. We have the favor to be able to say, we will provide the box. The city provides the box. Will you please go ahead and tell people? Is that an opportunity? When you go to heaven, don't you want to be able to say, we preached in the public square. We did it. And you go to Martin Luther and say, you had to make a fuss to have somebody look at you. We just served, and they gave it to us. And here's an opportunity. As we serve, we've been given influence. Number four is hard work. Hard work is something that we all have available to us. But we forget it. As we've moved along in society, we've developed this thing where the generation that is now moving into a full-time work has what the world calls an entitlement mentality. Like the world owes them something. I've showed up for work, and I want 4 weeks off every year for holidays. I want to be able to take my time off when I want. I want a fridge back there that has my stuff in it. I want my desk this way. And I went, whoa, wait a minute. What did you do to deserve that? Be born? I got a real piece of news for you. Your mom may give you all of that stuff, but nobody else will. Hard work will get you what you want. A work ethic will get you what you want. And nothing else will do that. When you show up ready to work and ready to go, that's when people start to notice you. And then you start to get the favor and the influence that was in the previous point. Hard work gets you there, no matter what it is. The Bible is full of, you know, you can look them up if you want, Proverbs 18:9 and Proverbs 14:23, full of the sluggard gets nothing. The sluggard, the lazy person, the person who has an entitlement personality, you get nothing due to you. But the one who gets it is, look at the ant who is working all day and getting putting away for later. You know, those kind of things. Proverbs is full of encouraging people to be about the activity of hard work. And anyone who is lazy can expect nothing. Less than nothing sometimes. Biblical principle. But it's a godly resource from heaven that he gave you. Hard work can come, it doesn't have to be physical hard work. It can be caring hard work. It can be mental hard work. It can be all sorts of things. But expect to use that kingdom resource. And as you use it, more will come.
Praise God.
And you will build and build and build. And you will accumulate and not just survive.
Praise God. Wow.
Number five, I'm doing good. Creativity. Exodus 35 and 30. Chapter 35 and verse 30. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship. To devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood for work in every skilled craft. He has inspired him to teach both him and this other guy, the son of his dad, and the tribe of Dan." You do it. God has given some people here creativity in so many different ways. Sometimes the creativity comes in ideas. They've sought out Norm for his creativity in being able to answer questions about what coastal health needs to do to make it more effective for the people in that area. He can creatively answer their questions because God has poured out this resource from heaven for him. Paintings and food. How much creativity can you have with food? Creativity in all that we're doing. Where does that come from? It comes from heaven. And you may be moving in it right now. But you need to be thankful for it. You need to be recognizing from whence it came. And then giving it away for all you can. And I don't mean you have to give away what you've created in that sense. Like, it has value in this world. You know, we have painters here that are charging for their paintings. That's a good thing. That is not squandering kingdom resources by gaining money for what you've done. You don't have to give it all away. It has value in this world, and we need to recognize it and follow God. May the value of the paintings go way up, because the tithe goes up then too. It's about walking with God and knowing what God is saying. But creativity can come in all sorts of ways. God will give you, if you're looking to him for creativity, he will give you designs for things that the world really needs right now. Ideas that will push ahead in any area. Jessica does research sometimes, just as kind of a hobby, as she's getting her medical degree, and she came up with ideas for saving lives and presented them and got an award for that. And she's just a student, you know. But it's creativity that God put within her. In her particular area of excellence. Where are you excellent? And how has God called you to be creative in those areas and to be able to think and access heaven with your thinking and with your dreaming and with your processes? Just get up into there and allow it to flow. What things could you be combined? How could we put this together in a different way? And creativity can flow through you because you are a window of heaven. You're seated in heavenly places, and yet you walk on earth. You are the transition point. Access heaven. Get those things. Creativity is one of the heavenly resources that you have access to. You play an instrument? Do it creatively. Make it wonderful. Number six is education.
Nelson Mandela said, "Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world."
Praise God.
Education doesn't have to be formal education. It can be. In the case of Jessica, Andrew, who, I don't know if he's here or not. He was here first service. Oh, he was back. There he is, way back there. Hello, Andrew. Andrew's pursuing his formal education in theology, you know. Formal education is good because it takes us to a place, but education is a lifelong pursuit for anyone who is following God. You're always learning. Always learning. Always seeing what God is doing. Always looking for God in some way or another. Always hungry for those things. Nelson Mandela recognized it. He was always curious and always learning. But he didn't pass it on to the next generation of leaders. The guy that's running the country right now is so busy being creative in how to take money out of the country himself that he didn't learn from Nelson Mandela. And so he's running South Africa into the ground. Be willing to be educated. Be available to God to learn.
Thank you, Lord.
Always be inquisitive. It's a wonderful thing because education is one of the resources of the kingdom. It's wonderful.
Thank you, Lord.
Number seven is, and I'll get there quickly here, faith is a resource of heaven. And by faith, I mean the faith that is spelled R-I-S-K. We've used that lots of times before, but when you get into a place where you need God to show up and you need to express faith through that, that's, you grow in so many different ways. When you really need God. So praying for people regularly, going out and praying for the sick in any situation, you need God to show up. You're never going to see healing in your hands if you don't go and pray for somebody. You're never going to see somebody come to salvation unless you evangelize. But when you're in those situations, all of a sudden you recognize your great need and you have to express faith out there, and that risk that you're taking, God sees and pours out the resources of heaven for you. It's like a door, a key to that place. This will get me in there. I don't know how, I don't know the answer, but I know that because I'm willing to do what the Bible says I should do, I'm going to have access to kingdom resources. Take a risk. Be willing. Allow God to meet you. There is a reason he gave us the Comforter, right? Not so that we could order our lives and be comfortable, but so that when we get into a place of risk, a place where we need faith, the Comforter can draw alongside us and comfort us. If you've made your life so comfortable that you never need him, I feel sorry for you, because there is something wonderful about needing God to show up. It is so amazing and better than any worldly high. There's no high like the Most High. Norm always liked that saying. Some Saturday nights he didn't agree with it, but. Turn with me to Matthew. This is the last point, honest. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Come in. Come in. Matthew 6, 33. "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be..." Oops, that's the wrong one. "But seek ye first
That's a good one, too. You can take that for nothing. That's for you. 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. The key to kingdom resources is intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. You can pursue all of those other things, and they will be added to you. But when you pursue God and his kingdom, his promise is all of these things. All of the other things will be added to you. So it's out of intimacy that we get all of those things. It's out of our relationship with God and just doing the things we know we need to do. Those things that we're called to do. Yeah, I know I need to do it, but I haven't got time. Right? I said last weekend there was a hush that went over the crowd. when I said it, Corrie ten Boom was so wonderful when she said, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Does that work for you? If he can't be effective in making you sin, he'll make you busy, because that gets you just as ineffective in the kingdom. Intimacy with God. It costs. It costs something to every one of us. But it gives us the key, the access point. It gives us the promise that all of these things will be added to you. Eight simple things that you know you can, that are kingdom resources that you can access, or keys to the kingdom that you can access with, one or the other. So you recognize where you are and what you're doing. So when I say you're accessing the resources of heaven, once you've accessed them once, you're no longer allowed to start with, I need something because I have nothing. No, you have access to the kingdom. You have access to all his resources now. Once you've been in there once, once you've seen a miracle, once you've seen a healing, once you've seen a deliverance, once you've had miracle provision in any kind, Lord, I need a popsicle. If you've seen that answered, even as a child, you no longer get to start with, I have nothing. What you have is access to the unlimited resources of heaven. And the God who is always more than enough will provide as he's promised.